We're feeling very dependent upon the Lord. This being the fifth little message that entails on the subject of division or being divided. For the sake of time, I'll not give any review. And I'm going to give another definition for the word divide, and it is to separate into groups. It also is to classify or categorize. So we're going to work with that definition this morning. And I believe that already with the previous messages that it does identify groups, or it classifies them, but I believe the message this morning will further that definition. We can determine who people are by their choice. And in various messages that we have spoken of during this series of messages, we have mentioned the sheep and the goats. We have mentioned tares and wheat. We have mentioned the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And all of those were divided and separated, and they were identified. But this morning we want to look at the parable of the sower. And it will come from the chapters 13 of Matthew, Mark 4, and Luke 8. And we're just going to give various scriptures or thoughts or phrases from those particular chapters. It starts out and it says, "Hear ye the parable of the sower." And it says, "Hearken, take special note. There went out a sower to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." So that's the beginning of a group, of a separate group, a classification, if you will, of a group. There are people that are traveling even today by the wayside. The scripture also says in that chapter, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The sowing of the seed takes someone that will hear, someone that will take heed to what they hear, someone that will not just simply let it go through one ear and out the other. And the seed in this parable is the Word of God. The ground in which the seed is sown is the hearts of all of the people, the individuals. And what I read was that men's hearts are like soil. It's a preparation, a place for the seeds to germinate, grow, and produce fruit. In this particular parable that Jesus gave, there are four sorts or categories of ground. And right away we see that the division or separations are identified. The first one being that it was seeds that were sown by the wayside. And as we look at that group, we see that they heard the Word of God. Now, we may think that everyone in the world does not hear the Word of God, but I believe that that's been the purpose of God, to send his word throughout the whole world. There may have been a time that the word was not prominent or spread or presented to certain countries, but it is our understanding that the word of God has gone out to the whole world. There have been seasons in the past where missionaries had the burden and the call and were sent to foreign countries. I'm thinking of China. I'm thinking of how that there was a time that China was had many missionaries, had a great response to the Word of God. Now, that gave the Chinese, the China, it gave them the responsibility to pass that on to other generations after that. There were times that the missionaries were very persecuted in China. When the communists came in, they expelled all of the missionaries except a few. There were some that were kept for the purpose of being examples of how they viewed missionaries. They tried to squelch and kill the word of God, that those seeds that were sown in the hearts of the people. It is my personal belief that there are still saints in China, true saints of God. Just because we don't have contact and we don't know them personally, I still believe that the seeds were sown, the word of God was sent out. And I believe that there were those that heard it and were like this group that we have started with. They rejected it. There were those that received it, and there were those that rejected it. So in this first group, when we analyze, we know that they had to hear something of the Word of God. The scripture here says that they did not understand it. Now, there is a reason why a person will not understand something. If they really want to learn, let's talk about being in school. If I have a mind block to math and I just resist it, I'm not going to learn it. I won't understand it. But if I have a desire to learn it, I'll put forth the effort to understand it. It's the same with the spiritual. If we claim that we don't understand it, we haven't sought to understand it. We haven't sought after it. I remember a certain person that was living with Lorne and me at the time, a relative. And they were at a crossroads in their life. And I preached a message on this particular parable. And I gave this particular parable about the one in the good soil. It said they understood it. But here we find this group of people did not understand it. And this person had said to us at different times, they said, well, I just don't understand why they teach it this way or that way. I don't understand. When I read this, I didn't realize it at the time. This person simply told me later, they said, when you read that scripture, I closed my Bible and that was it. And today they are somewhere else. So there has to be a desire in the heart towards something, to be able to understand it. This group of people did not seek for it. They did not see any value in it. We have to see some value in the Word of God to want it to be in our life, to apply it in our life. I would say that this group of people saw no benefit. I believe that in this group of people, the scripture says that the fowls of the air came and snatched it away, which represents Satan. Satan loves to snatch the word of God from you and me. And I think that you will relate. We can sit under the sound of the gospel. We can hear messages every Sunday night. We can go out the door and somebody say, "What was the message today?" Oh, I will have to stop and think. And I'm not condemning anyone. I am the same. The enemy wants to snatch what we hear. He wants to hinder us from hiding it in our hearts, from getting it established in our lives, from establishing faith. He is the opposer. He is like the fowls of the air that would come down and eat the seed and just devour it. That's what he wants to do. So with this group, it was very easy for him to do that. One of the reasons it was easy is because this group was mindless when it came to spiritual things. I believe that this group was careless. They didn't make an effort, and they allowed it to slip away. And there is a scripture that even tells us that we can let these things slip. We have to guard. We have to see the value of our own soul first, but we have to guard those things that we hear. I want to emphasize that this group did hear the word of God, but they let it slip. But I believe that in the day of judgment, it will be brought back. I believe they will remember the day that they heard and the day that they rejected what the word was. The second group. This second group is a group of people that the seeds were sown, and it was called stony ground. And this group also heard the word. It was spoken in their ears. It does not say they did not understand it. They heard it, and to some degree, they understood the word that was spoken. Because the scripture says in this passage that they even received it with joy. So that tells me that they found something about it that appealed to them. In the initial hearing of the word, it tasted good to them. And I believe that the scripture bears it out that they believed for a while. But there was a reason why they were not successful. You see, this was on where there wasn't very much earth for seeds to really germinate and take root and grow. They were stony ground. And so when something hard came, when the temptations came, it said that they fell away. So this is the second category. And the stony group, it appears that they were better than the first group. They liked what they heard. They made a start, but they only lasted a short time. There's a scripture I want to read to us this morning to liken to this group, and it's in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, and we're just going to read 30 and 33. And this kind of a attitude has been around since the beginning, when people are not, it tastes good, it appeals to them, and yet it doesn't last. But listen what it says in Ezekiel concerning the people of God at that time. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they shew much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a lovely song, a very lovely song, and of one that hath a pleasant voice. The last part of that verse says, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. And then verse 33, it says, and when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. So here's a group that may at some point in their life look back and say, I once was saved. But maybe they won't have any real regret. They won't feel any real remorse that they departed, that they gave it up. They have chosen their own way. So that will be those that will be in that group of people. So we go to the next group. And this third group, the seeds fell among thorns. And it appears that this group went beyond both group one and group two. First of all, in this particular group, there was sufficient earth. Because if the soil can produce thorns and thistles and briars and those kind of things, then it can grow anything if they're removed. So this ground was sufficient for producing fruit. And it's very possible that this group of people did bear some fruit. If a ground can grow adverse weeds and choking things, if we remove those things, I believe that it can be fertile ground. That's all that this group needed to do. They received it, evidently with joy. They did better than the other two groups. They had a different attitude, but yet they didn't go far enough. The thought came to me was how close they really came to entering in. It only took some effort on their part. The ground needed to be cultivated and worked, and the thorns and the thistles needed to be removed. And they could have had fertile fruit-bearing soil that would have been a blessing and they could have entered in. I have another scripture to go with this one, Isaiah 5. And I'm going to look at 1 through 6. And this is speaking of a fruitful hill, a vineyard. It is the vineyard of the Lord. And verse 2 tells us that he fenced it and he gathered out the stones and he planted it with the choicest vines. I want to tell you something. When the word of the Lord is sown into our lives, it's the same as a choice vine. The word of the Lord is perfect, and it wants to produce something in our lives. And so in this vineyard, it wasn't an inferior vine. It wasn't a vine from Walmart. They probably went to the very best nursery, and they got the supreme plant, and they planted it with something to expect a yield. He also, in this vineyard, he built a tower and he made a wine press, which tells me that he was expecting a yield. But when he looked, it brought forth wild grapes. It was inferior. And it goes on then in verse 4. And it says, what could have been done more to my vineyard? And that's what we're going to say about this third group. What more could the Lord have done to have helped this group to see their responsibility is to dig up the thorns, remove those things from their life? Because the scripture tells us exactly what the thorns are. It was removable. It could be done. If you want a really beautiful, prosperous garden, you have to work at it. You have to get the weeds out of it. You have to get the vines. You have to really make it into a garden that will be beautiful and that will grow and produce. So the question is, what more could he have done? What more could he do today? What more can he say than to you he has said? The song says, what more could I say to you? And that's what it says here. What more could I have done to my garden or my vineyard? And verse 5, it says, I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. This is what happens when we refuse to put forth the effort to receive the word of God, to retain the word of God, to allow it to reprove us and rebuke us and instruct us. If we don't allow those things to be in my life that I can understand, I cannot bear the fruit. I cannot produce any fruit. I will come to nothing. Just like the first two. Even though I did better than group one and group two, I didn't go far enough. I came close, but I didn't go far enough. So what he did, he took away the wall or the hedge. And it opened up for the whole vineyard to be eaten up and trodden down. And verse 6 says, I will lay it waste and it shall not be pruned or digged. I want to tell you, pruning and digging are very important to fruit production in our lives. If this group had been really serious, had really sought after the things of God in their life, had yielded themselves and say, I'm willing to, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do. I'm willing to get rid of these thorns in my life. then it would have taken on a different look altogether. And we wouldn't be even warning about this group at all. This group, you know what the thorns were? It was things that you and I face today. It was the cares of life. I want to tell you, we can get so caught up in the cares of life itself. Things that are not sinful. Things that will just take me away from the reading of the word and the time in prayer and the thinking and meditating on the things above and the seeking after those things above. I just allow all of these things to fill my life, and it comes up and it begins to choke and it begins to devour. The scripture says the deceitfulness of riches can choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. The scripture says it's the lusts of other things besides the spiritual things. I want to tell you, the devil loves to put things in our life to get our eyes, our mind, our attention on something else, a distraction to the words of the Word of God or the Spirit of God communing with us. So it that was one of the thorns, is lust of other things. And then pleasures of life. The scripture identifies these pleasures of life. And we are in a world that is drunk on pleasures of this life. We have it all around us. All kinds of amusement parks. All kinds of things to entertain us. The people of the world are absolutely drunk on movies. It wants to come right into the church of God. It wants to tempt the next generation. Listen, the younger generation needs to hear these teachings the same as the older ones. Because if we don't teach it, if we don't warn against the thorns that can choke, then they will grow up and just feel like they can go right on and be called a Christian or a saint and take part in these things. Saints, it can't work. The fruit will be spoiled. It will be called wild grapes. It won't be the superior quality grapes that was originally intended. So all of these things will choke out the word, and it will alter the end of a person's life when we take these ways. There is a scripture that also says to break up your fallow ground. There's something for you and me to do. I'm not going to be saved by my works, but I'm going to tell you, if I don't work at it, if I don't put forth an effort, I will not be one of the chosen in the end. So it says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Don't sow your seed among these things that can choke. Don't sow your seeds among... Don't get out of balance, in other words, with the cares of life. We all must deal with the cares of life. But don't let it get out of balance. Don't give yourself to the deceitfulness of riches. All of these things are going to burn up with the world. I can't take it with me. God knows our needs. He knows what we need. We need houses, we need food, we need clothes, we need cars, we need these things. But we don't make them our super goal in life. And be on guard with the pleasures of this world. that it not overtake you in your life. You're going to have to not sow among the thorns. And then there's another scripture in Hosea 10. Very similar scripture, but I feel like it's important that we hear these verses this morning. And it's verses 12 and 13. And it says it very similar. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. How will you reap? You'll reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed in wickedness. Ye have reaped in iniquity. See, depending on how we're sowing, we're going to reap it. Plowed in iniquity, in wickedness, and we reap in iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies. I want to tell you, the devil has so many lies he wants to cloud our minds with, and he wants to hinder our convictions. We are still talking about division. These are all divided up into groups, and the word of the Lord is telling us why they didn't succeed. And we need the warning. We need to receive it as a warning. The last group is the one that we should all have a desire this morning to be a part of. And it's a group that had the good soil. And the scripture says that the seeds or the word fell on good ground. Now, good ground didn't just happen. It's not like God is impartial or he favors this one over this one. Well, this one's going to have stony ground and this one I'm going to put good ground. No, we all have ground in our life, soil. It's what we do with it. I want to tell you something, that we don't have good soil at the house where we live right now. We've built up some beds. And in order to have something that's halfway good, you have to amend the soil. You have to add things to it. You have to cultivate it. You have to till it. It can't just be left alone and then go out and dig a little hole and put a seed in. It won't work. For it to be good soil, you have to work at making it good. It has to be full of desire if we're talking about the spiritual things. We have to seek after. He said, if you seek after me, you'll find me. He says, if you knock, it shall be opened. You'll understand if you knock. If you ask, you shall receive. This is the attitude of one that has good soil. God never turns away a knock. He never turns away that one that is seeking for more understanding. He isn't going to say, well, I'm not going to help you. He's going to say, I'm going to help you. If you'll just ask me, if you'll seek after me, you will find me. If you do it with your whole heart, it's very valuable to see the value of seeking after the Lord with your whole heart. And not allowing any of these other things of the world come in and choke it out. Oh, I want to tell you, it's the best way. He wants to give you a good soil or a good heart to receive his word. He wants this to be cultivated. He wants it to be prepared. Prepared soil takes work. It takes work. In this group, the scripture says that these individuals had a good and an honest heart. Did you know you've got to be honest with yourself? You've got to be honest with God. You can't fool yourself. You can't just justify yourself because you want to justify yourself. Be honest with yourself. Seek the Lord. Do you pray, Lord, give me an honest heart? I encourage us. Go before the Lord. He'll give you an honest heart. Say, Lord, give me an honest heart with you. Help me to be honest before you. And help me to be honest with the people. If we're honest with God and we're honest with ourselves, we're going to be honest with the people. And people know an honest testimony.
Yes, they do.
They know it. It's evident. The result of honesty shines forth without ever saying it. Without ever saying, I'm an honest person. Don't ever have to say it. It's a testimony of your life. It shines forth. But that's one of the characteristics of this group. They had an honest heart. They were honest with themselves. We know that they heard the word of God, and they heard it with joy, just like all of these others. They loved it. Do you love the word of the Lord this morning? Is it valuable to you? Do you enjoy hearing the word of God preached? We have to enjoy it. It's absolute drudgery if you are forcing yourself to come and sit through what is called foolishness. He chose this foolish way to save you if you will believe, to save me. But I have to have something there to desire it, to hunger, to thirst after it, and then I will be filled. And these in this group, it said, they understood it. Does that mean you're going to understand everything all the time? You're not. It's just like the song that we heard, little by little. The scripture even says it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It comes to us little by little. We don't get saved and be a little baby and expect to be a 50-year-old saint. You get saved and you start learning. You get saved and you begin to get acquainted with the Lord, and He begins to get acquainted with you. And then He begins to work with you, and He's like the potter and the clay. And He begins to form you and fashion you. And little by little, He will reveal Himself to you. You'll have an understanding. You won't have it all from the beginning. He wants to prove Himself to you and me all along the way. All that He can do for us. All that He wants to do for us. All that He wants to teach us. He wants to be that one. And the scripture says, and oh, I want to insert this here. I'm going to say, this is my burden, is that these in this category, in this group of people, were people that were seeking after the Holy Spirit. Seeking to be filled, seeking to be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, if that seems complicated, it is the devil that is complicating it. Because God has, just like the song, just a little here, a little. He'll reveal it. He'll give you understanding. And you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not difficult. He will show it to you if you ask. It says that they kept the word. And the scripture says they hide it or they hid it in their hearts that they might not sin against God. Amen. A scripture. We can apply it here. This is those that are in with good soil. And then the scripture said that the yield, the fruitage, some was 30, some was 60, and some was 100. Now what that says is that we're not all going to have the same degree of fruitfulness, but he's looking for fruit. I'm not in competition with you, and you're not in competition with me. He knows what he wants to do in your life and what kind of fruit he's looking for. He knows what he's looking for me. And we work together, and we fit together, and we complement each other, and we are helpers together, and we love one another, and we are bound together by the very Spirit of God. And so if I'm only yielding 30, be encouraged. We can connect that up with other scriptures too, but for the sake of time, I'm going to let you divide that in your own mind. So there's degrees of fruitfulness. And I believe that all of the people of the earth are going to fall into one of these four categories. And there's only one that seemed to be really good. And the others fell away and chose their own way. I want to give you just a few scriptures now in closing. I'm hoping and praying that the Lord will help us in these series of messages to understand how God is looking at all of this. Because what he's doing, he's getting ready to take us to the judgment. I believe he's preparing us. Some, anyway. Some may be closer than others. But there is a scripture in Genesis 18 and 25, just a portion, the latter portion of that verse I want to give to you. And it says this, it says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" It's quite a question, isn't it? Do we believe that God is going to judge right? And the answer is given in Psalms 58 and 11, and it says, "Verily, he is a God that judgeth the earth." Verily, he will do right. He will do right by the wicked. He will do right by the righteous. He will do right. And so we come now to the parable of the virgins. There's two groups. They're divided into two groups. They were all virgins, saved. They possibly were all sanctified at one time. But the one group allowed something to leak out. And what was the end result? They lacked oil. They lacked the Holy Spirit. They lacked the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they went to buy, what happened? The bridegroom came and closed the door. And they knocked. And they said, "Open up. We have it now." And he actually said, "I never knew you." I can't quite figure that one out. But I could say it this way and understand it. I don't know you now. I believe he knew them at one time, but now they did not. Now, if we look at Matthew, the 13th chapter, I'm going to close with this one. We're going to find a very clear parable. Jesus taught in parables. And he said some people will not understand it because they really don't seek to understand it. But he said to his disciples, "You will understand it." So if we're his disciples this morning, I believe we can understand even the parable of the sower going out, sowing good seed in a field. And it said, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And so when it came up, and the servants went out, and they came back with the report, there's tares growing among the wheat. And they said, what shall we do? Shall we tear them up, pull them up? And the householder said, an enemy has done this. And this is probably one of my greatest concerns, because it has to do with the Church of God. And it has to do with the age that we're living. And we're going to go to the judgment with a mixed multitude, according to the Word of God here. Jesus gave the explanation of this particular parable. And if you look at starting at verse 36 through the next few verses, Jesus declared the parable of the tares of the field. And he plainly said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Matthew Henry says that the world is the visible church of God scattered over the world. The enemy is not interested in sowing tares in the world that already is lost, but he is interested in sowing tares in the church of God among the wheat. He's interested in that. And it says, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. See how plain it is? And then it says, and the harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. So there's the definition. But what's going to happen then in the end? It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun, and the kingdom of their Father. And then again he says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There is a division. There is a separation in this world, in this time world. And then when God allows it to grow together, there will come another division. And it will be in the end. I find this very serious. I think we need to be instructed. We need to be reminded. And we need to check ourselves and make sure that we have that honest and good heart. There's a scripture that says, he that loveth my law, nothing shall offend them. Check our love for the Word of God, our love for His law. There are two categories of people today, possibly three. I would say three. There are those that are walking in back of light, and they are going away from light. And there are those that are coming to the light. They may not have all of the light, but they're coming to it. They will be more justified than the one that had the light and turned away from it. And the third one would be those that are walking in the light. And we must maintain walking in the light, not allowing the influences of any other group to affect us or to affect our convictions, our vision. It's important. We're living in perilous times. Pray for me.